Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and for those of you who are cat lovers, well, in the first part of the show, I think you're going to enjoy my guest quite a bit. Her name is Marta Felber, and right at this moment, I have her book in front of me, and I am looking at the most magnificent picture of a cat called Sterling, and he looks like a gray Persian, but Marta, you'll have to tell me, what kind of a cat is he? He's absolutely regal and totally gorgeous.
Well, he's a mixture, and nobody can figure out what he is.
So, oh, well, that's good.
So we just call him an individual, and, you know, he's Sterling.
He is Sterling, so he got the right name. He is absolutely gorgeous. He reminds me of a cat a friend of mine had, but theirs was a long-haired Persian, but he looks so much like the Persian. He's just absolutely gorgeous with those brilliant green eyes. Now, this book, when I got it, I was intrigued because you actually wrote this book from a perspective of Sterling. You decided that this was very important. Why?
Well, it's because I felt like he deserved to be heard. I looked into his eyes, and honest to goodness, I can't explain it. It was almost as if I could think what he was thinking. As I watched him, you know, his actions, and I looked in his eyes, and the stories just wrote themselves. I kid you not.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are a counselor. You
right.
have been in various positions doing that kind of work for a long time, but I was intrigued with the fact that you also have worked as a counselor in Egypt and Indonesia, as well as here in the United States. What took you to Egypt?
Well, it was a freak thing. It one of those things that happened to you that you just can't explain again, and that is that I had an invitation to go there. I had worked with a superintendent overseas, and he heard about me, and so he got the job for me in Cairo, and I went at the last minute. Everything was just to be, and I worked for 2 years there at the Cairo American College. The first year I went, they had only 300 or 400 students, and it was fine. I could handle that, but during that year, it mushroomed, and it doubled and tripled in size. Anyway, that's how I got to Egypt, just by chance, in a sense.
Well, not only Egypt, but Indonesia. Now, when were you in Indonesia? And Jakarta, when were you there?
Don't ask me the dates, because I don't have them written down. All I know...
I slipped over there, that's all.
You know, it just is part of my life. And I was there. That happened after I married the second time. And so my husband was sent to Indonesia. And lo and behold, they needed a counselor there at the counseling center. And then wasn't too long until I became the director there. I was there for 11 years.
11 years. Now, have you always had this affinity for cats?
Yes, because when I was a little kid, I can't even remember how early it was that my parents got this couple, you know, a male and a female, kittens. And they were born kittens, but I didn't know that then, of course. And I got to name them. And I named the male Nero and the female Catalina. Now, don't ask me where I got those names. But Catalina went the way that sometimes cats go, but Nero stayed with us for a long, long, long time.
Amazing. Well, now, with Sterling, again, you've written this book, It is from what you perceived as his thoughts. And you have what you call your musings, M-E-W-S-I-N-G-S, which I just think is really quite cute. And you have, in the beginning of the book, you have this wonderful picture of Sterling, and you've even got what appears to be his signature in here. But you feel as if this was part of what he was teaching you as the, shall I say, the friend, the cat friend, because cats are very, very independent. They're very their own individual. But you really felt, and I've known someone else who did something a little differently, but not unlike what you've done, being able to relate what the animal was thinking. Would you call yourself a cat whisperer?
I'm not sure. I'll let you decide that, since you seem to have read some of the stories.
Well, let's go about just sharing some of Sterling's thoughts here. And let's start right at the beginning. And the fact that you're talking about M's attitudes about you and coming into your household. How old was M? With Sterling, excuse me. You're M.
I am, because the reason that he calls me M is because the book's about him and not me, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't count that much, I guess.
Oh, I see. Well, I think you do. But with Sterling, to be able to put yourself into that observational positioning, obviously you've had this cat for a long time. How old is Sterling right now?
Okay, well, I hate to tell you, but Sterling, I had to put him to sleep. And so he no longer could have a qualified, you know, life. And the vet who wrote a blurb on the back of the book, he advised me that it would be the best thing to do. The quality of life was just not there, and it would be hard for both of us. And so I had to let him go. So he was about 2 years old, according to the vet, when I got him. And then he was between 4 and 5 years old, if they were correct in their judgment at the time, his age, when he died. So it was a very short period of time. And when I did have to let him go, I had already started writing these stories, of course, and I just was so distraught that I threw them in a box and put them in the box in the corner in my office closet. And, you know, just that was it. And then about 5 months later, I happened to see the box, pulled it out, sat down, and read all the stories I'd written. And I said to myself, and I said to Sterling, wherever he was, you know, you deserve to have this book published.
Well, it's delightfully done. It's delightfully done. And I love the illustration of Sterling that you have. They're like black and white photographs that have a misty kind of, almost like a pencil drawing look to them. It's just very, very nice. So you got him when he was 2 years old, and one of the first things that you have in your book is the fact that Sterling was very apprehensive. He doesn't know what he's in for, and he's going to be very, again, I'll use the word apprehensive, because he's coming to a brand new environment. How did you come to get him at 2 years of age?
I went to a shelter, and, well, I'll back up. I was a widow, and I had lots of friends, but they came and they left. And when they left, I was all alone. I had no one to talk to. And people would say, go get the cat. Well, finally, I listened to them. I went into the shelter and into the room where they had the cats and the kittens. And there were kittens all over the place, especially. And they were climbing up me, and I was pulling them off me. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and on the shelf, top shelf, no other cats were there. On the top shelf was this large blue-gray cat. And he was looking down, and I was thinking, he's probably thinking I'm going to pick out one of these kittens. And that's the first story.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached up with my finger, and put it to his nose. He smelled it. I looked into his eyes, and I said, "You are so beautiful. I choose you." And I know he was thinking, "And I choose you."
Mm-hmm.
That's how it all began.
Isn't it amazing how that happens with animals?
Oh, my.
It's just amazing. I have a very good friend who has a cat that's almost 20 years old. And this
that's all for a cat.
Yes, it is. And this cat has gone through a lot of challenges with her, and she just really has. My friend has a very, very strong bond with this animal. And she said it just breaks her heart because she knows it's getting closer to the time where she may have to, just as you did with your cat, Sterling, going to have to let her go. And it's been quite a challenge to her to be able to look at that. But while you have, you know, life is the now. And that's the way animals live it. They live it very much in the present, this moment. They're very good at giving us examples of how to adapt to sometimes the changes that life tosses in our laps. And with Sterling's perspective, you had a way of being able to relate. And I think this would be especially a very good book if you had children, to be able to share with the children how the animal could be feeling. And I know someone might say, my goodness, she's not the animal. How in the world is she going to know this? But there are things that you can sense, and when you can express the story coming from Sterling, then children can understand how important it is to be thoughtful with the animals, to be gentle with the animals, and with cats especially, you let them find their own space. And that is something that you relate in your story about Sterling. How long did it take for him to adapt to his environment when you brought him in?
It was several months because he had a lot of psychological problems. Well, don't we all? But and I had a lot of practice with that sort of thing, and so I used my expertise on the cat. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we went through a lot together, but when we got through that 3 or 4 months of his adapting, we really were closer. And that's what was so important. I want to back up, though, to something you said about children. And I think that this book can be used by, especially with parents, teachers. It's been field tested in schools. But this is a book for all ages, literally, because I field tested it from ages 5 to 95.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting to see the responses because people would relate wherever they were. And would get something out of it, like couples. There's a lot about relationships in this, and love, and getting along with each other. And, you know, we can take, well, it's not advice, but, well, I'll say advice. We can take advice from a cat that we couldn't take from a human.
That's very true. Animals have a way of passing along their understanding and wisdom. Cats especially are very good at that. And you bring out an example where Sterling is talking about how he observes you stretching. Well, my goodness, if anybody could learn how to stretch and relax like a cat does, my Lord, we'd all be so much better off.
Those, I know.
I mean, I just don't know how they do it, but they do.
Yes.
And they just stretch, and they have this way of just being comfortable anywhere. I have to laugh at some of the photos I get sometimes via email that people will send me about cats on computer laptops or curled up with a mouse, or they are lying on a keyboard, and they're perfectly contented. And you go, how do you do that? But they do, and that's something that you bring out in one of your stories, is how Sterling tried to show you, or if you're sitting at the computer too long, Sterling would pat you on the hand or say, that's long enough, you get away from the machine.
Right.
And I find animals do that frequently, and it's to me, it's absolutely amazing because they have a sense of it's time for you to take a break. I've had it happen. I don't have cats. I have Scotties. But one of my Scotties does exactly that. He'll let me know when it's time for a break. And it's absolutely amazing how they do this. I'm sure some of our listeners have had the same experiences. With Sterling, did you ever take him out and walk him? I know of someone that has a cat, put a leash on them, and they just go walk them around the neighborhood, and just their cat is as good as gold. Just they think they say this cat thinks it's a dog. It just walks. It's just amazing. A lot of cats don't like that. Did Sterling like that?
Well, I wouldn't have tried. I didn't dare. In fact, that reminds me of the story of when I moved from Arkansas to North Carolina. It was exactly 1,000 miles with Sterling in my car, the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I had practiced having him on a leash, and it was a shoulder leash, very secure, tied to the right-hand, the passenger's door, and just long enough that he could touch me, I could touch him, but he couldn't get on my lap and disturb my driving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I was on I-40 and I would just stop at roadside, rest. And the second one that I stopped in, I'll never forget that, I came out and here he is standing up there on the dashboard looking at me. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how did he get out of his leash? And I had a dreadful time getting in without letting him out because I was really petrified that if he got out, what would
mm-hmm.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I fastened him up again, but the next time I stopped, I didn't go in to the bathroom. I came out, and I walked all the way around the back of the car, and there were some people there watching. Well, and you're wondering, what in the world is she doing? So I put my finger to my lip, shush. And they came with me, and we came around to the back of the car and watched him. And what he did was he got the gear shift, the lever thing,
mm-hmm.
underneath that and pulled it off.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And the people sitting there said, that is one smart cat. Oh, dear me.
Just when they think we've got everything figured out, they show us we don't.
Oh, isn't that the truth? And that's, I think, one of the values, one of the reasons I wrote the book was to just say, look how much we can learn, from our pet. And maybe we've, sold them short. They have a lot to teach us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you bring out the fact that Sterling would let you know when he wanted to be held. And I think that something with animals, so frequently, we really need to listen. We really need to pay attention because in their own way, they, I think, communicate telepathically. That's my personal bias. And I really believe that there are times that they don't want you to touch them, especially cats, and
mm-hmm.
other times where they will get in right near you and say, okay, it's time. Scratch my left shoulder, up by my tail. I'm very happy. Thank you very much. They let you know when they want attention.
Right. And I think it's up to us, though, to be in tune. I don't have to tell you that cats are so different from dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They say that if you're a self-assured person, high self-esteem, get a cat. And I do think that's correct because they are not going to please us. I mean, that's not their thing in life, to please their master or mistress. And so, that appeals to me. I guess maybe I'm an independent person myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I can understand that, and it's okay with me.
Now, you have a musing in here, and I'm going to quote it. What joy and relief we feel when a loved one comes home. We want to stay close to them, and that's okay. We feel guilty about not appreciating them before they left. We find ourselves being mutually more considerate. We need to remember to appreciate the loved one every day, and when they go away again, to remember from experience, they will come home. That is something that's very important to animals. And even though cats are independent, they do like their routine. Sterling was strongly attached to you, and you to him. How did you work with that when you had to leave home?
Well, all I could do was tell him, but he didn't really understand. And the people who cats said that he had problems that. But after the first time, when I came home. And actually, many times a cat will ignore you when you do come home because they're punishing you. You do know mm-hmm. that. But mm-hmm. anyway, but after the first time, then he seemed to remember. For instance, I went to the hospital, and I had to be in bed for quite a while when I got home. And he wasn't nearly, you know, I was only gone, you know, for 3 days or whatever. But he was okay, pretty okay with me going in. And I think it was because he remembered that I did come back. But the interesting thing was that when I came home and was bedridden, he stayed on the bed with me almost all the time, except when he had to go eat or the litter box. When my friends came to visit, he would scoot away, come back when they left. When I would get up and go to the bathroom, he went along with me. I think that's amazing.
Well, I think, again, that cats are extremely telepathic. I've had a number of experiences, and I'll share one with you. I was doing a class with one of my students. We had about 20 people in the class, and I was doing it in her home. And so she had a living room that was big enough for all of us. We were sort of sitting in a circle, and she had a brown-tipped Siamese. And this brown-tipped Siamese, unknown to me, was scouting the class. This cat, and it was her love of her life, all of a sudden jumps up into my lap in the middle of the class and just curls up in my lap, and I'm watching this cat and just is laying there. While the cat's laying in my lap, I start to stroke it gently. And being a Siamese, they're talkers. And I know that Sterling, you tell the story in the book about how Sterling was a talker. And this cat just yowled very loudly. And it caused the whole class just to crack up. Well,
right.
the woman who was the owner of this magnificent, magnificent brown-tipped Siamese, said, he doesn't want you to pet him anymore. And I said, oh, okay. That cat stayed in my lap for the entire class. And after the class was over, the students and her both just did nothing but talk about it because the cat had literally scouted to see whose lap it was going to sit in. And she was surprised when the cat chose mine and was there for the entire class. You know, just said, I'm here, but don't handle me. So they do, they have this wonderful way of communicating, and I've had some very, very special experiences with different animals through the years, but that one in particular was really most interesting. But this cat actually was enjoying the whole class and was in an observation point where he could see everything that was going on. So it's really fascinating the way the different mannerisms of animals and how they will share it with people. Now, one of the things that I think is very nice about your book is that you bring in different levels. And again, it's through Sterling's story and how Sterling reacted to you. When you were writing this, when you were doing this originally, did you feel like you had this telepathic connection with Sterling?
Well, I must confess, I hate to say this to you, but I didn't call it that, but you're right. Yes, I felt that we had a real connection. You know, I can almost feel him and hear him now coming up the stairs to my office, and as he would come up, I would hear him, he sort of chirped.
Mm-hmm.
He had a special sound for coming up the steps. And then he would come in, and I would say, hello, Sterling, it's nice to see you, da-da-da. I found myself talking to the cat as if, almost as if he were a human.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like he was responding to me somewhat like that, too, also, and that's what I would write in the book.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sterling was not happy, particularly when people came to visit you and would go off and find his own space, but you really were his world. And
No, I'm sorry. I got to stop you because
okay.
he was a very, very friendly cat and would jump on people's lap like the cat did for you. I had a man who came and worked on my computer, and he came and got in his lap immediately. And I said, I'll get him out of your way. Oh, no, he's not in my way. And later on I said, oh, you must be a cat lover. Oh, no, he said, I like dogs. But it didn't make any difference, evidently. But I'm just saying there was only one person, one of my best friends, her name was Alice, and she was a cat hater. And I had invited her for Moravian molasses cookies and tea at Christmas time, and I knew that, of course. And I said to Sterling, look, Sterling, Alice is coming, my friend. She hates cats, and you have to stay on the porch. So before she came, I took him out on the porch. Evidently, I did not close the door tightly enough. So Alice comes. I'm sitting in front of the fireplace with my back to the fireplace. She's on the couch. The table is between us and all our tea stuff and so forth. Okay, we had no more sat down when here comes Sterling. He jumps up on the couch behind her head, and he walks back and forth. I'll never forget this. Back and forth behind her head. She has no idea he's there. He's never done this before. He always would come and jump on people's laps because he wanted to be petted. He'd stop and smell her hair. And that's where that story, comes in called Cat Hater.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when she says, I've got to go, and so we start to get up, he hides. And while I'm at the door telling her goodbye and so forth, he's eating up the crumbs, leftovers, and the cookies.
What a story. So he really got your message, but he sort of was taunting in a way because he was saying, I'm here.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
yes.
You don't like cats, but I'm here, and you don't even know I'm here.
And I know my eyes, I know we're going back and forth because it was hard not to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a character he was.
Well, he was very fortunate to have you as an owner. This book is very nicely done. And I think it's the type of book that a teacher, they were in a class and they had young students, this would be something that the kids would really relate to. Also, I think, as you mentioned earlier, adults would really like it. The cat fancier is the person that will really resonate with this book. I think you have given such a wonderful perspective. And as I went through it, I realized that this is very special, but I want to share with my audience your feline poem for cat. Or the feline poem, it's properly titled The Poem for Cat, because it was written by someone, you don't know who, but this is how it reads. And God asked a feline spirit, are you ready to come home? Oh, yes, quite so, replied the precious soul. And as a cat, you know, I am most able to decide anything for myself. Are you coming then? Asked God. Soon, replied the whiskered angel, but I must come slowly, for my human friends are troubled, for you see, they need me, quite certainly. But don't they understand, asked God, that you'll never leave them, that your souls are intertwined for all eternity, that nothing is created or destroyed. It is, well, forever and ever and ever. Eventually they will understand, replied the glorious cat, for I will whisper into their hearts that I'm always with them. I just am. Forever and ever and ever. And that's how you close out your book. And it's a delightful, delightful poem. I think your stories about Sterling, taking the positioning you did, writing, and giving views that empower people, I think is just absolutely charming. For those of you listening, this is called A Cat's Eye View of Life and Love by Sterling, who is a magnificent gray cat. Marta Felber has been my guest. Marta, what's your website?
Well, I have two websites, but Sterling's website is called sterlingthecat.com.
Mm-hmm.
Sterlingthecat.com. My other website is lifewords.com. And, of course, there's Amazon, always Amazon. But people can get autograph copies on my websites.
Oh, great. Okay, so if you go to our website, sterlingthecat.com or lifewords.com. Marta, it's been a delight having you as a guest today. And keep on keeping on with that cat whisperer positioning, because I think it's a nice one, and I think what you've done with this book is just charming. And, hey, the holidays are coming up. This would make a gift for someone that if they love cats, it would be a joy to receive. Marta, thank you again for being my guest today.
And thank you for inviting me. It's been fun.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, a cat's eye view of life, love, and a little bit more by Sterling. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need from you when you call in is your first name or your initial. And, of course, just sit back, relax, and let me tell you what I perceive, and that's how we do it here. And then you're welcome to ask a question about anything or anyone that's of concern to you. So, worldwide, toll-free number 888-815-9756. Well, it's coming up pretty fast. Hard for me to believe. But this coming weekend, I'm going to be doing an appearance at the Emerald Spiral Expo that is being held at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. For those of you living in the state of Washington, it is going to be a dynamic event. It's this Saturday, the 25th of September, and it's going to be from 9 until 5. And it is a family event. Bring the kids. It's great. All kinds of wonderful things happening. I'm going to have a booth there. I will be doing many consultations as well as having a huge selection of books that I'm going to be bringing in. So it's a lot of fun, but there's so many vendors, there's so many things going on. This is the longest running psychic fair in the state of Washington. It's been going on for about 39 years, and it was originally the Boeing Parapsychology Fair. So it is well established, and what's so nice is when you come out, you can go and you can talk to just any of the people there, really enjoy yourself, and it's a great opportunity to just communicate with people and chat with them about their services. There are people there that sell wonderful, wonderful stones that I've never seen anywhere else. They're just incredible people that this is their area of specialty and very knowledgeable, talk to you. So it's very informal, casual, and it's free admission. Absolutely. Free is free. So you don't have to pay a penny. Just come on in, enjoy yourself. They have wonderful food and drink there as well. So I hope to see you there. Do stop by and say hello. But go to their website, emeraldspiral.com. emeraldspiral.com, emeraldspiral.com. Paraprosdokian. Have you ever heard of that word? P-A-R-A-P-R-O-S-D-O-K-I-A-N. Well, I hadn't. And one of our listeners sent it along to me, and his name is Dan, and he said, you know what, I'd never heard of it either, and what is it? Paraprosdokian. I hadn't a clue. Not only is a tongue twister, is it a tongue twister, but apparently it's a figure of speech in which the latter part of a sentence or phrase is surprising or unexpected in a way that causes the reader or listener to reframe or reinterpret the first part. It's often used by comedians for humorous or dramatic effect. So people that are really good at satire utilize it. So these are a few that were sent along. I said, don't argue with an idiot. He'll drag you down to his level and beat you with experience. That gives you something to think about, right? And the last thing I want to do is hurt you, but it's still on the list. And it says, light travels faster than sound. This is why some people appear bright until you hear them speak. And then, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Ah, yes. Little statements like that, little sentences like that, it makes your mind work in a way that you wouldn't expect. And when you catch up with it, it is an interesting experience. So it's spelled P-A-R-A-P-R-O-S-D-O-K-I-A-N. A fascinating word, something brand new to add to a vocabulary. But, hey, that's what they're doing all the time. If you ever looked at an old dictionary, there are some people that I've encountered through the years, they love collecting dictionaries. Well, you know, they make wonderful doorstops. Many of them are over a foot thick. I mean, there's just some of these older dictionaries. It's absolutely amazing. You have to have a stand to put them on. But a lot of words that were used maybe 50, 75 years ago in a certain manner have changed in their definition through the years or have totally been eliminated from our daily usage. And it's really amazing. And the changes with words and how they are even designed, we've got brand new words that have come into our experience. The new dictionaries list so many things, and I forget right now, there's just an awesome amount of words that are added every year, and equal or more that are literally eliminated from everyday vocabulary usage. Fascinating things. Someone once said if ever they were stuck on an island, they'd want to have a dictionary to keep their mind active. I don't know. I think I'd want to have a little bit more than a dictionary, but it's something to think about. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-815-9756. Now, I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight if you so desire. Let me tell you about the people that are coming up for the rest of this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the perfect 10 diet. Now, I think it should be, instead of diet, a food program, because Dr. Aziz is very knowledgeable about nutrition. And he said one of the reasons that diets per se don't work is because we don't understand the chemistry of food. So we are going to get into that. And then on Wednesday, this is really a good read, Steve Alton, who has been a guest on my show before, we're going to be talking about Meg and Hell's Aquarium. It is an awesome, awesome book. I guarantee you it'll keep you absolutely mesmerized. Fascinating publication. And then we're going to have three guests on Thursday. Courageous Journey is a story about two young men, two little boys, actually, who are young men today, Benny and Ayul. We're going to be talking with them about their real-life experience, living through the horrors of war in the Sudan. And we're also going to be talking with the lady who wrote the book with them, Barbara Urie. These are three people that together as a team have put out a publication that is phenomenal. to read. And then Stanton Friedman is going to be our guest on Friday. This publication is not about UFOs, it's about science. That's right, Stanton is a nuclear physicist. I'm sure you've seen him on television with his programs on UFOs and abductees and this type of thing. But as a nuclear physicist, a scientist, he has, along with a colleague, written a book called Science Was Wrong. And it is a fascinating read. My husband absolutely loves it. All right, those are the people coming up. And if ever you want to know about the guests that are coming up on the Donna Sebo Show, all you have to do is go right to bbsradio.com, Station 1, look up the show, and you'll be able to tap the link to the information regarding those people that are coming up. So you'll know what to tell your friends if there's something special they might be interested in as well. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. In today's economy, well, so many of us are really having to watch our pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, and dollars. So maybe our car dies on us. What are we going to do? Well, I've got some wonderful information to share with you about buying a used car. When you go out and you look at the new car prices, well, it's almost, when you look at it, you could pay after interest, depending on who you go to, you could end up paying maybe as much as $40,000, $50,000, maybe $60,000 for an automobile if you're getting it brand new. So what you want to do is check things out and perhaps get a used vehicle. Well, I've got some tips for you. And when I say $40,000, $50,000, or $60,000, remember, there's interest attached. Maybe you'll be lucky where they won't have any interest attached, but that's not all so common. Just remember that the compounding adds up. The initial price is one thing, but taxes and license and all the other things that go along with it end up a sizable amount of cash out of your pocket. So I've got some information on used cars, and after we take our next break, then I will be sharing that with you. So I'm going to give you a heads up on that. Also, if I have time, I have a wonderful recipe for Moroccan chicken and roasted potatoes. If I have a chance, I'll share that with you today. But before I go on break, I just thought I'd give some quick little tips about things you can do that are what we call green cleans. You can keep your drains clean, and we all know that so many of the commercial products that are available to us are highly toxic, and you have to be careful about fumes or anything like that when you're using them, and you've got to be sure you wear gloves. Well, if you wanted to keep the drains clean and not cause a major problem, here's something I'd never thought of trying, but it makes sense, and it's taking a half a cup of salt with 4 cups of hot water and slowly pouring the solution down a drain. And the salt will help to dissolve greasy buildup and neutralize odors. And when you think of things that you use, you know, everything between deodorants and soap scums and conditioners that might be used on the hair, and there's just those components that go, for example, down a bathroom drain, then I've always considered using baking soda with white vinegar. But here's something else with salt. And the baking soda and white vinegar really work very, very nicely. But the salt solution might work well, too, so you might want to try that. And also, if you have had guests, and maybe you served wine, and you find that you've got glasses that's stained, all you have to do is take a handful of salt and a quart of vinegar and put your glasses in it, and your glasses will be free of those stains. You leave them to soak overnight. And so salt is an interesting item. It's not just good for flavoring foods, but it's something that can assist you in keeping things clean and not necessarily be so harmful to the environment. Although that, all the water, salt going into the water, that's just something that they're able to take care of at the processing plant. So those are just a couple of tips that I wanted to share with you. Now we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. So sit back, relax, and again, if you'd like to call in and chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, contact me at 888-815-9756. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you that would like to write about a personal paranormal experience you've had, whether it's a precognitive dream or something else, send it along to me. I'm putting together a book, I've set up a file, and I'm collecting stories from people from around the world, and I'd love to hear yours. And all you have to do is send me an email, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. And what I'd like you to do is put in the subject line when you're sending it to me, story for Donna's book or something like that, so that I know that it's specifically relating to the book itself, because then I'll be able to put it into its own category and it will have a priority for being viewed. So again, send your story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Okay, I wanted to share some information with you about buying a used car. Now, I'm a very strong advocate of checking out used cars, and you can go to used car dealers, and you can also buy from a private owner. And I can remember when I bought a used vehicle, how I had done checking before. Now, at the time I bought it, they didn't have Carfax available, which is something that's available today to people. But I was just amazed at the tremendous practicality of buying. Where I got mine from was like these car rental places that buy cars in fleets, and they have to turn them around, or turn them over, as the adage goes, turn them over on a regular basis, because their cars cannot have but just a certain amount of mileage on them. And at the time, it was like about 10 or 15,000 miles, and then they could put them up for sale. So I got an excellent buy, a marvelous automobile in superb condition that even had a good warranty on it, and it was wonderful for years. So I think that that's one area that you can check through. But so many times we will look at maybe buying from a private owner, which can be a very, very good thing to do. However, there are some steps that you need to be aware of. Now, what if you need to know, well, first of all, what kind of a car do you want? Do you want an SUV? Do you want to have a truck instead of a car? Do you want something that's going to have economical mileage to it? What is it that you want? And also, what kind of a budget are you looking at? And it's very important to really be aware of this, because it may make a difference. And you have to be aware of what's going to suit you. And I recommend going out to different car dealerships and just trying out vehicles, just like you do clothes. You go and you don't buy the first thing that you see on the rack, but you say, gee, is this comfortable? I know when we were shopping for a new car a few years ago, my husband would get into different vehicles, and he's not a small guy, and he found, gee, I don't have much leg room here. Or the seat, I don't have any place for my arms to go. And it took, believe it or not, he was in like 10 different vehicles before he finally found a vehicle that fit the requirements that he had for his physical build. And for him, he just needed more room. He needed more leg room. And he said it was amazing to him, the difference in different cars. So once you decide on what it is that you'd like, what you want, then you can go and use the Internet. That has become a very popular resource to really check out on reviews and ratings on the different types of makes and models that you might be looking at. Now, a website that you may want to go to is called Edmunds.com, Edmunds.com. And you can also check Kelly Blue Book, and that's KBB.com, KBB.com. And the National Auto Dealers Association, and it's NADAGuides.com, NADAGuides.com. And that'll give you the book value of your various makes and models that you're exploring. And there's also two others, and you're probably familiar with Craigslist.org or Autotrader.com. And, of course, check your local newspapers and classified ads and bulletin boards, you know, in the community, and sometimes you just find a vehicle that you see driving by that's got a for sale sign in the window. We did that with a vehicle that we wanted to sell. We just put the sign in the window. Someone came by and said, I'm interested in your vehicle. I'd like to buy it from you. You just never know. There's just so many different ways you can find a car. So you want to really, when you find a car that you're interested in, you want to really have the opportunity to drive it. And if you're going to be dealing with a private owner, then they will be probably wanting to be in the car with you. Now, they're not going to just turn the keys over to you, but you may want to take a test drive with the vehicle. And you also, if you're interested in buying a vehicle, you need to get the VIN, the vehicle identification number. Now, it appears in multiple locations. It's on the driver's side windshield. Sometimes it's along the inside of the door pillar. Maybe it's in the engine compartment as well. You want to make sure that the VIN numbers that are in these different locations match. If they don't, you don't want the car. It could be stolen. You'd really want to pay attention to those things. Always test drive more than one vehicle so you can decide which one is the vehicle that you want. So using a car dealership, used car dealership is a great way to look at it. Also, if you're interested, you can check with your Attorney General's website for the state that you're in, and you can find information about whether or not the vehicle that you're looking at purchasing has had any flood damage. Here in the state of Washington, when we had a couple of years ago some very, very bad flooding, there were a lot of vehicles that were put up for sale, and if people weren't savvy enough, they found out much later to their chagrin that the vehicles they had purchased had been in severely flooded areas, and that was not good news. You want to get a vehicle history report, and of course you get that with Carfax, C-A-R-F-A-X, and they do charge you for a report. It's $34.99 for one report or $44.99 for five reports. So once you've figured out what you're interested in, then it's worth your getting a report on the vehicle. But narrow down your search so that you're really aware of what you're wanting to check on. And you want to be sure that the vehicle is inspected. And that inspection can cost anywhere between $75 and $150. And this is important because when you have a vehicle inspected, then you're going to find out from a mechanic if there's anything that is a red flag. And once everything comes back really, really good, you know exactly what's going on with the vehicle, you may find that you want to, when you purchase it, you want to get the seller's driver's license, write down his or her contact information, and also ask perhaps the seller to meet you at the vehicle licensing office to transfer the title together so you don't have any hassle. Just a few tips on getting a used car vehicle. This is Donna Sebo. So glad you were able to join me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.